Hi there, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center, and the roots of this ministry go back to parenting, helping parents, because we know if we get that right, it really builds legacy for the future. And maybe you're a parent or a grandparent, maybe you're feeling encouraged or discouraged. You know what? I want you to take a big, deep breath, because we have some help and some hope and some encouragement for you from the Intentional Living Center today, so stay tuned.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. I was just thinking about that little verse that says, "Your children will rise up and call you blessed." And you're thinking, wait a minute, they rose up, but they didn't call me blessed. I know. You know, that's a promise down the road. And so if you're right in the midst of the battle today of parenting, I want you to hang in there. There's encouragement for you. You know what? You will make it. You probably had well-intended grandparents come and say, "Dear, these are the best years of your life," you know, and you're thinking, hello. They certainly don't feel like that when you're trying to get kids ready for school and you're trying to deal with discipline. And if you're married, you're trying to deal with marriage issues and finance and all the stresses. So I want us to take a big, deep breath today and understand that God's intentions are good for us. Our goal is to do the best job we can. We're not about perfection. Intentional living is not about perfection. I gave a little verse in Ephesians chapter 5 that talks about we are to walk as children of light. And I think that's a good verse for us as parents. Not only should we walk as children of light, but we should be teaching our children to walk as children of light as well. And I encourage you to get up every day and maybe have a little prayer, something like this. It says, "I am a child of God, and I will walk in the light of God's intentional love and train my children to do the same." There's a one thing that you can do every day to be intentional with your kids, okay? So if you have a comment for me, you're welcome to share it on our comment line when you call 888-888-1717 and press number 2, all right? All right, let's get some callers going here. I think Kathleen's standing by in New Mexico. Kathleen, what's your question today?
Hi, Dr. Andy. I have a grandson who is just turned 17, and he is thoroughly addicted to a video game. And it's not one of the horrible, violent ones, but still, he would rather play that video game than breathe, practically. And it's causing a lot of conflict with he and his mom. So I want to know how you can work with him to make him see that playing this game all the time is not good, and that if he is not allowed to play the game, he shouldn't be angry and become really mean.
Wow, there's a lot in that question. Can I encourage you? First of all, you're grandma, right? So you're kind of like one step away from maybe being the main influencer. This is up to mom. Mom has got to be taking the lead because she's with him. And if dad's involved, I didn't hear dad's name mentioned, but if dad's involved, mom and dad together, even better. And don't focus on the video games or the focus on, is he getting done in life the things he has to do to live? Is he helping out around the home? Is he getting his schoolwork done? In other words, there should be enough things in his life that the video games have their place, but they're going to be off to the side. If they are dominating his schedule and, frankly, impacting his relationships, coming to dinner with the family, getting his homework done, being responsible to get a job and help prepare for the future. He is 17, after all. If it's keeping him from having a good attitude, because it sounds like he's got a stinking attitude, then you discipline the behavior and the lack of things getting done, and don't beat him up over, hey, you can't be on the video game so much. That's sort of a symptom of the problem, right? Focus on the real problem, which is his life is not balanced. Focus on the things he needs to get done, and then when he does, then the video game certainly should be able to take care of itself. Big problem. I mean, this is a huge topic. There's been a lot of research and more research being done on the psychological and relational damage being done as a result of people becoming addicted to things that are online today. And so I hear your pain. Mom and dad, you got to have a strategy, get intentional, develop the kind of habits as a parent to follow through. Okay, let's go to Autumn, who's on the line in New Mexico today. Hi, Autumn. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good, good. What's your question?
I'm in a situation where I have a 9-year-old son and 2 younger boys, one 16 months, one 5 months. And the 9-year-old I had when I was 17, and he's been in the care of his paternal grandparents for the last 5 years. And since I've had my 2 younger sons, I've been having a hard time trying to manage time with my 9-year-old. And he lives in Albuquerque. I live 88 miles from him. And I need to figure out how to do this, and especially working around the grandparents who we don't get along.
Well, Autumn, you have 2 younger ones. Are you going to be reconnected with your son?
I'm trying to, but they're refusing to reunite him with me.
Okay. Well, obviously, there's probably legal issues and things that you need to work out with the proper authorities to know what that's all about. But what I hear your question is, how do you keep in touch with your 9-year-old son if you're saying the grandparents are not permitting that? Is that what I hear you say?
Yeah, like he doesn't text me, or he doesn't talk to me because they tell him that I can't talk to him. So, like, he can't, we can't communicate, really.
Yeah.
And when we do, they're right there, and we don't get to spend, I don't even know what to say with his parents, his grandparents right there listening to him.
Well, How long has he been with his grandparents as the primary caregiver?
For the last 5 years.
All right. So in his eyes, this is mom and dad. These are his parents.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you're this, other person. I understand that that can create a great dynamic that's very difficult. 2 things I think I would suggest, Autumn, because time is limited and there's a lot to your question. It goes much deeper than just a couple minutes on the air. But a couple of principles I'd follow. One is, I would pray that you and the grandparents' number one concern would be, what's in the best interest of this little 9-year-old young man? How can we help raise him to become a follower of Christ, to be a responsible adult, to deal with the issues in his life? So often, children get caught in the middle of the battles that go on between parents and grandparents and ex-spouses and all that kind of stuff. And you hear the stories later of anger from adults that grew up and say, as a child, these are the things that happened in my life that really distorted my view of life. And so, number one concern, what's in the best interest, not of the adults, but of the 9-year-old? Secondly, given the fact that it sounds like there's some concern about who's got custody and who's in charge, you should be well advised to make sure you got good counseling, family counseling, and good legal counsel as well, so you know where you stand. I'm sure the grandparents I'd probably say the same thing to them, make sure they understand as well. But again, the goal, the objective has to be what's going to be in the best interest of this little 9-year-old young man. Talking about parenting today, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's tough, but the good news, God is always in charge, and that's our hope for you today. If you want to join us with a question on our comment line, give us a call, 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Sarah, and I just wanted to call and say thank you for your ministry and for your radio station and everything that's fed on it, because every day on my way to work, I listen to your program, and it just lifts me up, gets me motivated, gets me in the right mind when I'm going into my work, and I'm a waitress. So being able to touch everyone that I come in contact with the love of Christ is just so phenomenal, and I love my job because of this, and you really have a very important part in that. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's encouraging to me. And I know to our team, when we hear stories like the one you just heard from real people who are getting the message of living intentionally and allowing it to penetrate into how they think, how they behave, how they respond, and what God is doing in their life. Powerful thing. And it's because of the support of men and women, maybe you and others, who stand with us and support every month that we can do this. We're listener supported. That's how we support the ministry. We have people who give every month, sometimes $1 a day, $30 a month. We have others that give $100 a month, different amounts. But everybody working together allows this mission and ministry to continue. And we could really use your help as we start moving toward the summer months, where typically things slow down a little bit in giving. Your support would be a great help, keeping us on track and helping us catch up. So thank you for your faithfulness. If you're not a member, come and join us today. Your ongoing support will allow us to send to you every month a brand new, fresh teaching that we'll send out to you from our office to say thank you and also encourage you on your journey. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And when you're there, click on the donate button, and you can fill out the information and get it to us. And we'd love to hear from you. And we appreciate your questions, too. You know, over the years, we get a lot of data that comes in, questions that we can sort of look at. What are the main issues that people are facing? What are some of the challenges? And they've changed over the years, but they keep coming back to some of the basic questions. And so Sally is back here with me again today. Sally Barton, who's our chief of all broadcasts. She's kind of like the chief among chiefs of the broadcasting operation. So thank you for taking time to sort through some questions that people have been asking.
And so, no more important broadcasting than what we do here on Intentional Living. So thank you so much for what you do. You know, you're talking about change. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that come in is, I think, a matter of change through the years. The Mrs. Barton or Mr. Barton or Dr. Carlson, you just don't hear that so often. So one of the questions from the parents is, how do I get my children to act more polite in public?
Yeah. Well, just get them to act polite, period. I think it begins in the home, showing respect in the home, setting standards in the home. Let's face it, the kids out in public are often a reflection of the kids at home, right?
Yeah.
Now, they may feel like they have more freedom out there to do something else, but you're setting the standard at home. Learning to say please and thank you. I would say to husbands, I can remember one time one of my sons, when they were much younger, when they were young, spoke disrespectful to their mother.
Mm.
And I can remember thinking, now, wait a minute, that ain't going to happen. And I made it clear to them. I said, listen, you don't speak to your mother, my wife, that way.
Wow.
In other words, it's respectful. We're going to show respect in the home. You set a standard of how we expect to communicate with each other. And I think it begins in the home. If you're up to the good manners in the home, it's going to be better when they get out in public.
You know, I have to take a little right turn on that one and just ask my own question. What does that do for the marriage when you stand up for your wife in that way?
Oh, I think it's powerful. We're teaching young men how to treat women. And a lot of guys that try to get away with things with women may have not seen the kind of respect they need in the home from dad. And so when dad loves and appreciates and respects his wife, old-fashioned today, right? But I think it's what God's intention is. We're passing on to young women what they should expect, how they're supposed to be treated. When daughters and granddaughters see respectful behavior toward them from the men in their life and their family, that's what they should be looking for in public and with other men in their life. So it begins in the home. I think all of this training begins in the four walls of our home when kids are young.
You know, I could just picture at that moment that Donna stood up a little taller and there was a little smile on her face just to know that, you know, you showed that kind of respect to her. Loved hearing that. Now, here's a funny one. I remember there were three little girls in my home and my poor dad had four brothers. And so when we'd get a little riotous, I would often hear him say, "Stop having so much fun." Well, here's the question. I don't mind my kids having fun, but they won't settle down when it's time. How do I get them to calm down?
Well, it's hard because, you know, they get wound up.
Uh-huh.
You got to give them some time to wound down. I one of the things we tried over the years was a little bit of a warning. Okay, we can have fun. We can have you guys can be wound up for another 5 minutes. I think building rituals that children go through can be helpful. Kids are going to have fun. They're going to wrestle and they're going to do things. We want that in our family. I think that's a positive thing. But there's a time and a season for everything. When they get to the place, it's time to wind down. You got to have a process. You go through a process that starts that winding down so they can get ready for going to bed or going to church. Or whatever it is, but you got to give them a warning.
Yeah.
I think last minute, okay, we're done, isn't going to work. Five more minutes, four more minutes, and we start moving in that direction.
In my house, it was I warning Roger or was I warning the kids? You know, there's the whole issue of shyness, and this mom is asking, my child refuses to leave my side. How do I get my child to stop clinging?
You know, I can remember, I've taught over the years that shyness, when kids are real shy, can be, not always, but it can be a form of power.
Hmm.
In other words, they make you pay attention. Shy children, you pay attention to them, right?
Okay.
You ever get a little child and you try to say something to them and they get real shy and they back around behind mom and so on? It makes you get down to their level and pay more attention to them.
Wow, that's an interesting perspective.
So it can be a powerful thing. So I don't, in other words, be careful not to allow attention-getting behavior to only be defined as disobedience. Mm-hmm. It can also be powerful not to speak. You got kids that won't answer. They won't speak. Or being shy sometimes can be power as well. Don't give them too much attention for behavior that's not going to be cooperative for the family.
Okay, good input. Final one.
Yeah.
How do I get my children to stop interrupting? You know, everything seems so immediate with kids. Mom, I just need your attention.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think, you know, that happens when you're on the phone, right?
Yes, always.
It happened when you're talking to a friend and so on. Obviously, again, it's attention-getting behavior. It's perfectly okay to say on the phone, can you hold on for just a second and turn to your child and say, look, I'll be done in 2 minutes. When I'm done in 2 minutes, we can deal with it, but not right now. Now, if they continue, because you're training, right? Remember, training is a process. It may be you have to say to your friend, hey, I'm going to have to hang up right now, and I'll call you back in a couple minutes. Hang up and then deal with that. Deal with that situation. It could be time out, it could be whatever, but to make it clear that that's not the kind of behavior. In other words, don't give them what they want just because they're interrupting you. Give them maybe what they don't want, which might be a timeout or some discipline in their life.
Yeah, I like that. It's like responding instead of reacting.
Yeah, exactly.
And be prepared for that moment.
And of course, kids always do it in the most inopportune times when you're in this grocery store or someplace.
How do they know?
Well, they know.
Yeah.
And they're wired that way.
They don't seem to care how long it takes to get your attention either.
I think these little kids have some sort of a Facebook group where they all share with each other, how can we drive our parents up the wall?
So. All right, we'll
thank
check
you,
it
Sally.
Out.
All right, thank
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Dr. Randy.
We're talking about parenting today. You're welcome to come and join us with a question on our comment line, our story line. Just go to theintentionallife.com. You can join us or you can call 888-888-1717 and press number 2, and we'd love to hear from you, okay? I think got a couple more calls we'll get to here in just a moment.
Hey, did you know you're part of the family?
Yeah, you.
That's why you're listening right now. And here's a way you can really feel the familyness. Join Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving. Just click like and instantly you'll have more than 100,000 other family members, including Dr. Randy, ready to encourage you in your intentional life. You never know. God might use you to encourage someone else. So come on in. That's Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving.
Imagine a vacation where the planning has already been done for you. Imagine a vacation that affirms and strengthens your faith. Well, imagination becomes reality this October when you experience the Intentional Living Center Washington, D.C. tour. Historian-guided tours will give you the true stories behind Washington's most iconic sites and will include the brand
new 430,000 square foot Bible museum. Plus, imagine praying for our country and our nation's leaders. But this time, praying alongside Dr. Randy Carlson and other Intentional Living family members. It's a vacation too awesome to leave to the imagination. So reserve your place now at theintentionallife.com/Washington. That's theintentionallife.com/Washington.
That sounds pretty good. I think we're going to do that. My wife, Donna, and I, we're taking a tour. This is going to be brand new for us. And in fact, it's a brand new tour that's been put together to go to the nation's capital. Maybe you've visited there before, but you're going to see it with new eyes in a new way. My wife, Donna, and I, and some of our team will be there October 10th through the 16th. We're going to be in great accommodations. Every day, man, they've got a schedule packed. We're going to go from the White House to the Capitol. We're going to go to, the monuments, Mount Vernon, George Washington's home. We're going to go to the archives building, see some of these biblically based foundational documents in our nation's history. And we're also going to the brand new, as you just heard, Museum of the Bible. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to be doing some teaching. We're going to have tour guides taking us around the city, special parking, and so you'd have to fight all that. We're going to be on buses together, and it's just going to be a great time for this week. And listen, this is the time to have a vacation that's going to be meaningful and life-changing. Come and be a part of this. Get your information at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And we look forward to meeting with you in Washington, D.C., just a few weeks before the election, by the way. Going to be a very special, I think, one of those memorable moments in your life that you'll look back on for many years. All right, let's go to the calls again. We got Leanne on the line. Welcome to the program, Leanne.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your question?
My husband moved out and is asking for a divorce. It is more one-sided. He will not try at the marriage anymore. I would like to try to salvage it. But it is what it is. So I can't control it, and this is in God's hands. But it's just really hard on my soon-to-be 9-year-old. She'll be 9 in May. She cries herself to sleep most every night, misses her family. And I'm pretty mad at him. And I'm having a hard time answering why.
Yeah.
Without throwing him under the bus.
Did you catch that? Did this come up as, did you get caught off guard? I guess I'm asking.
I knew we were having troubles, but I never thought he would quit. I thought he would always try, and he won't go to counseling. He's told me that he didn't take those marriage vows seriously in sickness and in health. Till death do we part. He said some very hurtful things, and he's not a nice man right now, so I know I shouldn't be with him right now anyway.
How long ago did this happen?
It's just been since January that she knew, and September when he moved out.
All right, so it's been several months, but still within this last year. And Leanne, you've probably been told this, but you're going to have to find the avenues to deal with your hurt and your anger separate from your parenting role. And where they bleed across, I know that's hard to do, but you're going to have to find the strength with God's help to keep your 9-year-old out of your own stuff, if that makes sense. And I can hear it in your voice. You're angry and you're frustrated, and understandably so from what you're saying. But when 9-year-old's asking questions, I'm assuming she's not having interactions with Dad. Is she asking Dad these questions?
No, she kind of talks to me more. The kind of the way the family was set up is I was more primary. I stayed at home. He worked. She was with me more, so she just asks me the questions. She doesn't really ask him the questions. It's usually me.
Questions like why and what's going on and what's next, those kinds of things.
And when's Daddy coming home, and things like that.
Well, Leanne, a couple of things that would be very practical for you. We've seen over the years, your 9-year-old more than anything needs to know, because remember, she's concerned about you and about Dad and the family, but she's still 9 years old. She's concerned about herself. You know, what's happening to me, my world, my security, and you need to give her as much security. I would, if that were my daughter, I'd be saying things to her like, honey, those are really good questions, and there's some things that I can't answer. We're just going to have to together explore what God's doing here. We don't know. We're going to have to pray that God will work in Dad's life, in our life, that we need to keep trusting him. But I want you to know, honey, that you're okay, that this is a place where I'm going to be here for you, okay? You're going to go to school. You got a place to live. In other words, as a 9-year-old, she's not thinking about the same things you're thinking about as in your marriage and as an adult. She just wants to know, is it going to be okay? And so start with what you do know. Give her the answers to the things you do know about the being secure. But don't bring her into the adult stuff. You know, you've got to keep the adult stuff to the adult stuff. And that's where you have to really, frankly, be able to suck it up as a mom and say, honey, we need to just pray that God will continue to do a work. You don't know, Leanne. I know that you guys are hurting. God is still a miracle-working God. He could still do something amazing that you haven't even considered yet. And I know that would be your prayer. In fact, can I pray with you about that?
Yeah. I was going to say, is it okay for me? She and I, we do pray for him. I mean, because I pray for him every day that he's not a Christian. And I pray that God will be the hound that we know he is and somehow do something in his life to bring him to Jesus. And I think that would make a difference in our marriage.
Well, I think that's a key. Just don't use your prayer life with your daughter as an opportunity to get your stuff out, okay? I mean, if you got, that's the stuff you and God together in the closet, as it were, praying and getting it out, your emotions. But when you're praying with your daughter, that's taking the higher road that you need to take with your daughter. Listen, Leanne, here's the point. Here's the question you got to ask yourself every day. What I'm about to say or do with my daughter about this situation, will I look back 5 or 10 years from now and regret that I said this? Will I look back and say, I should have done this? This is the time to say, okay, I've got to look at the long term here and do those things that won't further damage the potential for God doing something special in this relationship and trust him for it. Lord, to that end, is that what we ask you right now for Leanne and for her husband and for the 9-year-old daughter, that you would do a miracle in this family. We know you're a miracle working God. We know your intentions are good. And I pray that you would just move in this family, in the hearts of mom and dad and daughter, in a way that we could all look back and rejoice that you did this. It was your work. Pray for peace, and we pray for comfort and also wisdom for mom as she makes decisions every day. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Randy Carlson. We'll be back with more intentional living next time right here from our center. We'll see you then.